Okay, page Chesamid Aleph at the Mishnah. 2, 4, 6, 8. 10 lines from the top of the page. The Mishnah.
Just tell me those.
I said. Okay, the Mishnah says as follows. Hazeira Gevin Rishus Rabim. We're learning all about people killing people accidentally. What happens if somebody takes a stone and throws it into a group of people standing in the street and somebody dies? So the Mishnah says, Hareze Goyla. He has to go into Golus. And the Gemara is going to explain what all this is about.
Intentionally he throws, or we don't
know? No, he didn't intend to kill anybody. He just took it and threw a stone.
He knew he was throwing it into the crowd?
Right. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Eimer, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, if after a guy threw a stone, a guy picked up his head, now the guy throws a stone, also a guy picks up his head and gets hit with the stone and dies. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, he's potter. He doesn't even have to go into the city of refuge, because that's freakish. And as we learned, anything which is freakish, weird, you don't have to go into Golos.
What's he doing throwing a stone in the crowd?
Huh?
Why's he throwing a stone
in the crowd? He didn't know what was going to happen from it or whatever.
He did not know what's going to happen when he throws a stone into a crowd. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Huh?
Somebody's going to get hurt.
We'll see in the Gemara. We'll see more and more. The Gemara asks, in fact, the Gemara asks a very simple question. The Gemara's first question is, he's amazed. It's intentional. Forget accidental. It should be made. That's the Gemara's first question. But this is what the Mishnah is saying. So Chachamim say, anytime you throw a stone into the street and it kills somebody, it's accidental. You go into Golos. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that if you throw the stone, the guy sticks up his head and gets killed, so that's freakish, you don't even have to go into Golos. Then it says, if somebody threw a stone into his own backyard. A guy took in his own backyard, his courtyard. Over there they used to have courtyards in front of the houses. He threw a stone in the courtyard, and then he killed somebody.
Someone was in his courtyard.
One second. So it says, if the victim, the guy got killed, had permission to be there, then you go into Golos. You go into exile. And if not, the person didn't have permission to be there, a guy walks into your backyard, and you're playing target practice, you know? And the guy walks in and you kill him by mistake. So you don't even have to go into Gol. You don't even have to run to the city of refuge. Why not? Shenema, because it says in the Pasik, Ba'asher Yovei Yisrayehu Bayar. The example that the Torah gives of killing somebody accidentally is, you're in a forest, and you're chopping wood, and either the axe flies off, like we learned last time, or the piece of wood falls off. But the Gemara says it's similar to a forest. Maya, just like a forest, is a place that Rishus L'Nizik U'L'Mazik L'Konish L'Sham, where the preparator, the Mazik, the guy that's doing it, and the guy that got killed, both have permission to be there. Afko Rishus L'Nizik U'L'Mazik L'Konish L'Sham. It has to be in a case where the perpetrator and the victim had permission to be. In other words, the fact that the Torah tells us, when the Torah gives an example of somebody killing somebody accidentally, the Torah uses the word forest. Why is the Torah using the word forest? To teach us a din just in that by itself. That just like a forest, everybody has permission to go, the mazik and the nizik, the perpetrator and the victim. You know, and then the Torah says you have to go to exile, to Ari Miklat. It's the same thing we learn, that when does a person go to Ari Miklat? If it's speaking in a place where both people have permission to be there. But if the victim didn't have permission to be there, and he just came in without permission, and by accident you killed him, that you don't have to go to the city of refuge. It's called, the Torah excludes you, exempts you from going. Yatza chotze balabais, this excludes the possibility if it's the owner's own courtyard, that both people don't have permission to be there, so then you don't have to go to this Ari Miklat. Okay, so that's the second in the mission. What?
I didn't get the last one.
No, so we learn now from there that no wonder you go to the city of refuge if both people have permission to be there. But if the victim had no permission to be there, you don't have to go to Ari Miklat.
Rabbi.
Well, that means, let me give you an example. You have a target practice in your backyard. You're shooting bows and arrows in your own backyard, yeah? And all of a sudden, you don't see somebody else comes into your yard without permission and gets in the way of the arrow and he dies. So the Mishnah says you don't have to go to the city of refuge.
So what if you invited the guy over to your house and all of a sudden he shows up?
So if you invited him to go, and that means he had permission to come, and then by mistake you killed him by accident, then you have to go to the city of refuge. Yeah?
In today's times, it put me to shame. The story of Philip Spector.
I know, but we're not...
he was next door to mine.
Oh, okay.
Like Jeff Presser. And Barry Novak.
Okay, but the guys on the internet don't have to hear it.
Oh, okay.
Abishol Eimer, Abishol says, Ma hatoves eitzim reshus. Another thing he says, that just like chopping wood is not a mitzvah, it's a voluntary. What's the case of the Torah? You come into a forest with somebody, you chop wood, and by accident you kill them. So the Torah says you have to run to the city of refuge. So from the forest aspect, the Gemara learns there has to be a place where both have permission to go. Why does the Torah talk about chopping wood? Because chopping wood is not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to chop wood. So therefore, the same thing, av kodeshus, any accidental death that makes you go to the city of refuge has to be a non-mitzvah act. But what happens if you're doing a mitzvah, and while doing a mitzvah you kill somebody? Then you don't. What's the example?
Fence around a roof, maybe?
No, if a father hits a kid.
Oh.
It's a mitzvah for a father, they're going to learn. It's a mitzvah for a father to hit his kid. Yeah?
The My father got a lot of mitzvahs.
Yeah. Your father got a lot of mitzvahs. Not enough though in that. So just like it says, Yotzo Av HaMakas B'nai, if a father hits his kid, and the Gemara is going to explain, it's a mitzvah to hit your kid, even if he behaves. It's interesting.
Really?
The Gemara is going to say, even if he behaves, it's a mitzvah to hit your kid. Or a teacher that hits the student. Okay? Or Shliach Bezdin, the agent of the court, who by mistake, while doing his duty, whatever it is, he by accident killed somebody. I'll give you an example. The guy's giving Malkus, right? And like we learned, Bezdin said he can handle, let's say, 20. And he gave him 10. And the guy died. So he killed somebody accidentally. He doesn't have to go to the city of refuge. Why? Because he was doing a mitzvah. What?
Before you said that, if the guy walks in without permission, then, and if you shoot him, you don't have to go to the mikvah.
By accident, not
yeah.
by, no.
What if both of you aren't in your own backyard?
Then it's a place... We both don't have permission to be?
Right. Like two kids going on playing in the backyard of somebody's house.
Without permission?
Yeah, both in different.
And probably then you wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
No, it says you both need permission to go there.
Dang good.
It needs to be a place where both people have permission to go. If both are in a place where they neither of them have permission to go, probably not. Okay. So this is the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says a few dinim. Number one, if you throw a stone into a public group, you go into galus. Abishol says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, if the guy picked up his head when you threw the stone and he got killed, you don't have to go to galus because it's freakish. Then he says, also the only din applies if both people have permission to be there. But if the guy, the victim, didn't have permission to be in the backyard, then the din is, you're not chayiv ari miklat. Okay? And the last thing Abishol says, and this din only applies when you do a voluntary act. But if you're middle of doing a mitzvah, you kill somebody, meaning the mitzvah is to hit, not stop you going to shul to daven. It doesn't mean, by the way, if you God forbid, going to shul to daven, and on the way you, God forbid, kill somebody, that's not what he's talking about here. Even though you're on the way to do a mitzvah. We're talking if the mitzvah is to hit, like a father, a child, a teacher, a student, the shliach bezdin, and then the person dies, so because you did it as a mitzvah, there's no din of ari miklat.
When somebody's in a pastor putting a fence on the roof, is that a mix?
If what happens?
And something falls down?
No, but that's not his doing. Ani Mikra is if you're doing it. I mean, if the person does it.
The person is building a fence on the roof.
And? The mitzvah. And something falls down? I don't think that would be included in this because we're talking about that. All the cases the Mishnah gave, it's the act of hitting. The act of hitting is what's the mitzvah. In fact, the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. What happens if a guy is building a sukkah? If a guy is chopping wood to build a sukkah, is that also a mitzvah? It's similar to what you're asking. So we'll see very soon in the Gemara.
That's more a mitzvah than his example. You're building a sukkah.
So building a fence around the roof is also a mitzvah. Sure, it's a mitzvah in the Torah.
When you feed a husband to give a gift.
If Bezdin is doing it.
When he doesn't listen.
If Bezdin is doing it, then it's okay. Okay. So now the Gemara asks a very simple question. The Shu said, Abim, if somebody throws a stone into the street, the Mishnah said, it's accidental and you go to Ari Miklat. So the Gemara asks, Mezidhu, that's deliberately killing somebody. When you throw a rock into a public place which is a gathering of people and you kill somebody, it's not accidental. You should know that you're bound to kill somebody. Why is that called accidental? It should be called intentional. You should get killed. So Amar Rav Nachum, Rav Shmuel by Yitzchok, Rav Shmuel by Yitzchok says, and the Gemara is going to interesting olden day customs of what people used to do. It's speaking b'seisid es kaisli. A person, what happened was like this. He was taking down his fence. They didn't have metal fences in the old times. They had stone fences, right? A guy was taking apart his fence and a rock fell off from the fence and fell into the street and killed somebody. Oh. Understand? So then, the Gemara says, that's not intentional. The Gemara thought the Mishnah was speaking about a case a guy threw a rock into a public place. So the Gemara says, that's mazed. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. When the Mishnah uses the expression zedek, it actually doesn't mean actually throwing. It means a guy was taking apart his wall, and a stone fell down from the wall and killed somebody. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? That's still intentional. He should have looked and checked to see if anybody was nearby. You guys just can't take down a wall. People know when you take down stone walls that stones fall down. So it's still negligent. So the Gemara answers, B'seisir es kaisir b'layla. He did it at night. Now, no, what do you mean at night? At night, nobody walked around the streets. Don't forget, they didn't have street lights. At night was pitch black. So the Gemara asks the question. Throwing a stone into the street is mazed intentional. The Gemara says, no, he's taking down his wall. So the Gemara says, it's still intentional because he should have watched what he was doing. The Gemara says, at night, so he didn't think anybody's going to be there. So the Gemara says, but balayla nami boile luyuni. Even at night, he should have checked because people do go. I mean, not very common, but people go. So the Gemara answers as follows. It's speaking, b'seisir es kaisir l'ashpa. He was dismantling his wall next to a garbage dump. And nobody goes in garbage dumps. So the guy was taking down his wall. He says to himself, why do I have to look? Who's walking in a garbage can in a garbage dump at night?
They used to hide their precious thing.
1 minute. So the Gemara Ataka asks your question. So the Gemara asks, remember the familiar Matthias? So Gemara says, "Hi, Ashpechi Dami, what type of garbage dump are we talking? Ishchicha beirabim, if people use it, people used to use garbage dumps as a bathroom. I mean, they didn't have plumbing. We used to go to a garbage. First of all, it was quiet, and it was a garbage dump anyway, so people would make there. So he said, if it's a place where people go, Peshay, he's still negligent." Right, so why do you go to Ari Mikli? You should get killed. If people don't go there, honest, so he's an honest. He's even less than Shagig. What does the Mishnah say? That if you throw a stone into the street, you have to go to Ari Miklat. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? The Gemara thought it means you throw it into a group. So the Gemara says, that's intentional. So the Gemara says, no, it means he takes down a wall. The Gemara says he should still have looked. He did it at night. He should still look. The Gemara says, he's taking it down the wall near a garbage dump. So the Gemara says, what type of garbage dump? Is it a garbage dump used by people as a bathroom? So then you're negligent. If nobody ever uses it, so of course, what do you want from the guy? It's an honest, it's mamish a freakish thing. And Rav Papa said as follows. It's a garbage dump that people only use as a bathroom only at night. And nobody uses it during the day because it's too public. So he says as follows. But once in a while, people use the garbage dump as a bathroom even during the day. So it means as follows. On a regular basis, people don't use it. Once in a while, people don't use it. People use it. So the Gemara says like this. Negligent, he's not. It's not a complete accident either, because there are people that use it. So he goes into the Ari Miklat. So he goes to the city of refuge. That's what the Gemara says. It's basically not used at only at night, not during the day.
How does the Gemara know all of this?
Because that's what used to go on in those days.
But all the Mishnah says is like three words and the Gemara invents all of this thing?
That's the way the Gemara and Mishnah works. That's why Mishnah is this amount of lines and the Gemara is this amount
of
lines.
How do they know to have to make this story? I mean, they
because the Gemara is... I'll explain to you why. Let's finish this. I'll tell you in a second. V'ika demeikir v'yosir. And there are people that use it during the day. So the Gemara says that therefore, Peshaya lehave, you can't consider him mazid, negligent. Why? Because da einasi lefanis beyem. People don't use it during the day. He's not negligent. But einas nami, you can't call it an unforeseeable accident either. Da ika demeikir v'yosir, because there are people that use it. So what is it? It's an accident that demands that you go to the Ari Miklat. Okay? That's what the Gemara said. Now, to answer your question, which is a very basic question, not only about this Gemara, when you have a Mishnah and the Gemara starts learning the Mishnah in such a way that you never dreamt that that's what the Mishnah meant. Right? How does it work? It's very simple. The Mishnah was written, as the Gemara says, Balashin Ketzara. Very abridged form. Why? Because people were extremely intelligent and they understood from the shortness of the Mishnah what the Mishnah meant. So when the Mishnah said the words, a guy throws a stone into the street, okay, he has to go to Ari Miklat, the Gemara understood it can't be a negligent case, it can't be a completely unforeseeable accident, because then you don't sit in refuge either. So obviously the Mishnah means a case which is not negligent, but not unforeseeable accident either. Okay? So when the people in the time of the Mishnah understood right away what the Mishnah meant, such a case. As time went on, and Golus got worse, and people didn't have the opportunity of dedicating themselves completely to learning, so they needed the Gemara to explain the Mishnah. As time went on, people couldn't even understand the Gemara. That's why you need Rashi. You need Tosis. Then it got to a point, people couldn't understand Rashi. So you need commentaries on Rashi, and commentaries on the commentaries on the commentaries. And that's the way, huh? That's why you have the system of the Mishnah is written very short and abridged, but they understood what the Mishnah meant.
The Gemara invents these scenarios.
But to explain the Mishnah, but that's really what the Mishnah meant.
Rabbi.
What?
Excuse me, but let me, I'm a minute late, maybe I missed it. A city of refuge, did all the countries have that?
There were six in the land of Israel.
Speaking of land, and this city was set up for...
People that killed people accidentally to run there and they were saved.
Okay. And so they got away with it. They didn't have to answer.
Right. There's a story with the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe once saw somebody learning a commentary in the back of the Gemara. The Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher. And the guy learned and you know, the Rabbeinu Asher, and the Altrebbe said to him, why did Rabbeinu Asher learn the way he did when he could have learned a much better way? And the guy was stuck. So the Altrebbe explained to him why that way was no good. Okay? Then the Altrebbe refuted what he said, and refuted the refuting, and refuted the refuting of the refuting. That means every answer the Altrebbe answered, he refuted it. He showed it was wrong. And he finally came, after 10 things, to show why Rabbeinu Asher learned the way he did. Okay? Then the Altrebbe said to the guy, you shouldn't think that when Rabbeinu Asher learned the Gemara, he went through these 10 steps. They were so great, they saw it right the first time. Instead, they saw it right the first time. And once it becomes Torah, it becomes unlimited. It becomes actually unlimited knowledge. Whether the person thought about it or not is totally irrelevant. Like, you have, the Rebbe explains a Rashi. The Rebbe asks many questions and many answers, yeah? Did Rashi really think that? Did the Mishnah really think what the Gemara is saying? Not necessarily. There's a story also with the Rebbe Rashab. The Rebbe Rashab, one of the famous long, year-long continuation of Maimarim. And now we're in Basir Gani, which is only 4 Maimarim. There's Hemsheichim that have 70 Maimarim, continuation one into the next. You know, there's one year, Samach Vav, that the Rebbe Rashab, with a whole year of Maimarim, every Shabbos was a continuation one to the next. Okay? And on the first page of Samach Vav, the Rebbe Rashab asks a few questions. Okay? So one time a chassid came to the Rebbe Rashab, and this chassid taught chassidus in the city. So the Rebbe Rashab asked him, what are you teaching? He said, I'm teaching your Maimarim Samach Vav. Okay? So the Rebbe Rashab said to him, tell me something you discussed. You know? So he said, I made a whole thing why the Rebbe Rashab asked the questions on the first page in the order that he asked them. There are a number of questions, and he asks them in this particular order. So he said, I made a pilpul, the chassid said, I made a whole discourse of why the Rebbe Rashab said the questions in the order that he said them. So the Rebbe Rashab smiled at him and said, I'll tell you the truth, I never thought that when I said it. But once something becomes Taira, there's no end to the depth of it. Okay? So you have the Mishnah. The Mishnah can say 3 lines, but I'll tell you a little secret. You have the same thing in Chumash. The Torah says one pasuk. Ukshartam la'esal yadecha v'hoyu l'titofiz b'ninecha. All the pasuk says tie him for a sign on your hand and for a sign between your eyes. Yeah? That's what the pasuk means. Do you know there's a whole tractate called Menachas just on that pasuk? All about tzitzis and tefillin. Pages and pages and pages and pages of Gemara. What does the Torah? What are tefillin made up? How do you write them? What are the letters? What the parshis? What boxes? What straps? What order? What? Instead, all the Torah has one sentence, and you got a million pages of Gemara on it. That's the way Torah works. The Mishnah was very short and bridged. The Gemara tells a story, Abaya. Show you how into learning they were. Abaye was an orphan. When he died, his mother died when he was born. Okay, in fact, he was called Abaye, which is Asher Bacha Yeruchem Yosim, which is an acronym that they'll have pity on an orphan. Okay, Abaye was raised by his stepmother, was very nice to him. And Abaye said in the Gemara that a day, whenever my stepmother, asked me to bring her a cup of water, my whole day of learning was ruined. My whole day of learning was ruined because I was distracted by bringing my stepmother a glass of water. In other words, they were so into the learning that they were able to understand from few things, they would understand everything. Okay, so that's in the Gemara. The Mishnah said, the guy throws a stone. Obviously, the Gemara is saying, it can't mean They just took a stone and threw it into a group of people because that's intentional. So what does it mean? So the Gemara is analyzing what the Mishnah means by those few words. But in the time of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, when he compiled the Mishnah, that was sufficient for the people to know. They actually knew what it was. Okay, then the Gemara says, okay, that's the end of this Gemara. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, 5 lines into the wide lines. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said that if a guy threw a stone and a guy picks up his head and gets hit by the rock, that's called freakish, unforeseeable accident. You don't have to go to Ari Miklat. So the Gemara says, "Son Rabbanan, Rabbanan learned." It says in the pasuk, "Umatza," that it found. The pasuk says that what happens if you're chopping wood in the forest, "Umatza esreyehu," and the thing that flew off, whether the axe or the wood, fell and hit somebody, "Matza," found him and he killed him. Okay, what does that teach? Which teaches us if the stone found the person, not if the person found the stone. In other words, if you throw a stone at this person, so the stone found the person. But if a guy threw a stone and the guy picks up his head and hits the stone, so the stone didn't find him, he found the stone. Right? And the Torah says the stone or the wood found the person and he died. Which excludes what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying, that if you found the stone, meaning you stuck up your head and the stone hit you. Mikan from here teaches us, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Mishayotso evan miyodi. Once the stone left the hand, Heiti Allah Asrei Shevi Kibla. The guy, the victim, stuck up his head and got hit. Pati doesn't have to go into Ari Miklat. So the Gemara asks a question, Lameima, should we say, the matzah mi'kara mashma. That matzah means something that was there already. That means the stone was there and it found him. But Aminu, I'll to ask you a question. It says, that means the Gemara says, the word matzah is referring to something that was already. Okay? So the Gemara asks, there's a pasuk as follows. O matzah g'day gu'ulase. What does this mean? There's a din. If somebody is forced to sell land in Israel, okay, he's broke, he's forced to sell land, so the din is, the relatives have, this is only now to sell, and only then. I'll explain why in a second. The relatives have a halachic obligation, they have a halachic obligation to redeem the field if they can. Okay? Now, if he has no relatives, but he finds the means to buy back the field, the buyer must sell him back the field. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, you have to understand, there was no permanent selling in Israel. V'ha'aretz leisi machir letzmisus means, in the land of Eretz Yisrael during Beis HaMikdash times, you only sold land until Yovel. In the Jubilee year, the Torah says all the land goes back to its original owner. So if you sold land in Eretz Yisrael, it only went until it was like a lease option. Price of land in the time of the Beis HaMikdash was, basically in the first Beis HaMikdash, part way through the second, how many years were left to Yovel? Okay, that's how much you sold land for. If there were more years left to Yovel, land was more expensive. If there were less years left to Yovel, it was less expensive because by Yovel, all the land went back to its original owners. What happens though, if let's say there are 25 years left to Yovel, and I sold you a piece of property, and Eretz Yisrael, the din was, you were only allowed to sell property if you went broke. That's the only time you're allowed to sell land in Eretz Yisrael then, was if you were broke. So what happens if you were broke? Sell land, and there are 25 years left to go Yovel, and a year or two later, you got money. You got money. So the din is, you're allowed to buy your land back, and the buyer must sell it back to you.
At the same price?
Well, deducting the years left to Yovel. He doesn't. No, the Gemara said before he doesn't go to Arari Miklat. Now, the Gemara is not talking about this concept.
But if the guy is there,
right. Over there, the Gemara is discussing, is that intentional or accidental? Because he shot with the intent to kill, but not an animal, and the person came in the way. Here, he didn't intend to kill. But nevertheless, if the guy stuck up his head, he doesn't have to. I mean, there's a similar din, but it's not at all connected to this. We're learning during the week. If a person is obligated, whether you're up or sleeping, if you damage property in your sleep, you have to pay for it. Okay? For instance, if you're sleeping on a bed, and there are dishes next to the bed, or you're sleeping on the floor, or somebody puts dishes on the bed, whatever. You're sleeping next to dishes, and the dishes were there when you went to sleep, and in the middle of your sleep, it turned over and broke the dishes, you have to pay. But if you went to sleep and there were no dishes there, and then after you fell asleep, somebody put dishes on the bed, and then you rolled over and broke the dishes, you don't have to pay. Because why? Because you're obligated when in the middle of your sleep, but that's only if you knew about it before you went to sleep. Because the person has control over themselves even while they're sleeping. And therefore, if you damage something in the middle of your sleep, you have to pay. Like if you in the middle of your sleep go like this and you break a window, you have to pay. Because the window was there before you went to sleep. And you should have known when you went to sleep there's a window there, and therefore you're obligated whatever happens. But if a guy sticks something in the middle of the sleep, a guy sticks something next to you and you go like this, in the middle of your sleep, you don't have to pay. Because how are you supposed to know it was there? If you throw a stone and people are there, you're obligated. Ari Miklat. It's not the same din, by the way. It's just the same concept. If you threw a rock and then somebody runs in, according to the Blaz of Ben Yaakov, you putter.
Now, what if, in the case of the ladder, you have somebody standing under the ladder to don't fall?
Yeah.
That's his job.
Right.
And then he doesn't do his job and the ladder falls on him and kills him. Then what?
The ladder falls on him or the person falls on him?
She said the ladder.
I know, but I'm saying.
The person falls on him.
Because the ladder wasn't held properly?
Yeah. Obligation
to keep it safe so
he doesn't fall. So he actually caused the person to fall on him.
I didn't know that, huh?
Well, then it's the guy's in the bottom's fault.
How do you know?
His job. It's not that it broke or it's the wrong slipped.
Why, it's on us. It's unforeseeable accident. It's not unforeseeable accident. Even when you go on a ladder, even a guy holding the ladder doesn't guarantee it's not for sure not going to break or fall or whatever.
So he still has to go to the...
Very possible. Possible, I don't know. Possible. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Azeirik HaSa'evin, in the Mishnah was a din, that if somebody threw a rock, okay, and Abishol says, the guy stuck up his head, so good only the whole time you pot, right? Now. No, I'm sorry. This is going in the end of the Mishnah. Yeah, I'm sorry. This is going on the case of the Mishnah of Abba Shol, when do you have to go to Ari Miklat if you're doing a voluntary act, like chopping wood or whatever? But if you're doing a mitzvah, like a father hitting his kid, or a teacher hitting the student, so then it's a mitzvah, you don't have to go to Ari Miklat. Okay? That's why the Torah speaks about chopping wood. Why is it giving an analogy, example of chopping wood? Because chopping wood is voluntary, so only voluntary acts would commit an act, go to Ari Miklat.
I just want to stick in the law in California. If you're a public school teacher, you are not allowed to hit a student. That's, you will be sued, tried, and fired, no flat.
Tell you a little secret. Today in the Jewish schools, if the teacher hits a kid, they'll get to jail. And the olden kid, that's why the schools look the way they do today. In the olden times, both in the public schools and in the private schools, you were allowed to hit kids years ago if they misbehaved. Now, they sue you.
I'm going back to my start, 52. So I'm going back 50 years.
No.
There was no such law. You could not hit.
Yeah, but students. Before your times, they hit the kids in public schools. Amar lo hov, and Rabban lo rava.
The parents have to, the teachers take classes for self-defense.
Yeah. Amar lo yahud, Rabban lo rava. So the Gemara asks, somebody asked Rav a very simple question. How do you know chopping wood is voluntary? Maybe the Pasuk's talking about chopping wood for a mitzvah. The Gemara said a statement. Just like chopping wood is voluntary, meaning not a non-mitzvah act. So the same, so Gemara said, maybe it's chopping wood of a mitzvah. Like Gemara says, how do you know the Mechatov says in the Shuas that the Pasuk is speaking about wood chopping, which is not a mitzvah? Dilma Mechatov ate him the sukkah. Maybe it's speaking about chopping wood for a sukkah, or Machtovis ate in the marach, chopping wood for the wood on the mizbeach. You know, they always needed wood on the mizbeach, which is a mitzvah. So how do you know the pasuk is talking about optional wood chopping? Maybe it means mitzvah wood chopping. And nevertheless, afilo hamer achamana ligli, and even then the Torah says you go into galus. Right? How do you know the Torah is speaking about a voluntary wood chopping? Maybe the Torah means, even if it's a mitzvah wood chopping, you'd also have to run to the Ari Miklat. So Gemara says, Amalei, Kiv and Dimat, he says, you know why it's not a mitzvah? He says, very simple. There's no mitzvah to chop wood. The mitzvah is to have wood. What would happen if you would have wood available without having to chop? There's no mitzvah to chop. So he says, chopping itself is not a mitzvah. Even if you're chopping for a sukkah, or you're chopping for the mizbeach, the mitzvah is not to chop. The mitzvah is to have wood. If you would have wood without chopping, you wouldn't have to chop. It wouldn't be a mitzvah. That's what he says. Kiven dimatzeh chotuf. If you would have already found chopped wood, lav mitzvah wouldn't be a mitzvah. Hashtanami lav mitzvah. So here also wouldn't be a mitzvah. The Gemara is saying a very interesting concept, not only relevant here, in many places. And that is, there's no mitzvah in the Torah, like we learned. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to shecht an animal. Shechita is a mitzvah. But it's not a mitzvah you have to do. If I don't want to eat meat, I don't have to shecht. Mezuzah is a mitzvah. Torah says you don't need a mezuzah. But it's only a mitzvah if I decide to own a house or rent a house. If I want to be homeless and live in the street, I don't have a mitzvah. I must have a mezuzah. Right? Biblically, the mitzvah of tzitzis. The mitzvah biblically, if I have a four-cornered garment, I have to put tzitzis on it. I'm not obligated. I mean, Chacham said you should, but there's no mitzvah anywhere, not biblical, not rabbinic, that you have to wear a four-cornered garment. The mitzvah is, if you have a four-cornered garment, you need a mezuzah. You need tzitzis. If a guy decides not to wear a four-cornered garment, there's no mitzvah tzitzis. There's no mitzvah in the Torah you have to chop wood for a sukkah. There is no mitzvah in the Torah you have to chop wood for the mizbeach. The Torah says you need wood. How you get the wood? Any way you get it is fine. If you buy it, you could not steal it, obviously. You buy it, if it's available. There's no mitzvah to chop wood. So the Gemara says, what are you asking me? That maybe it means a chopping wood of a mitzvah. There is no such mitzvah. The mitzvah is you need wood. But if I have wood without it, then it's not a mitzvah. One of the 613 mitzvahs is divorcing your wife.
If.
Oh. One of the 613 positive mitzvahs is to divorce a wife. Yeah? There's no mitzvah in the Torah you have to divorce your wife. The mitzvah is, if you're breaking, you're separating, it has to be done with a get. But there's no mitzvah in the Torah you have to divorce your wife. There's no mitzvah in the Torah you have to chop wood.
But the intention is for ultimately...
Yeah, but the Gemara learns as follows. a father hitting his son, that itself is a mitzvah. In fact, now the Gemara is going to ask, but if the son's good, there's no mitzvah to hit him. So why isn't... The Gemara says, if a father hits a son, he doesn't go into the city of refuge, God forbid, if the kid dies. So the Gemara says right away, Eisei Ravina L'Rava, listen carefully. Eisei Ravina L'Rava, Ravina said to Rava, Yato Ava Makas B'nai, excludes the father who hits his kid. Okay, simply the Gemara thought, now the kid's not behaving, the father hits him, and by mistake the kid dies. Or, Harav Harei, there's been a teacher hitting a student. Or, Shliach Bezdin, agent of Bezdin, who's giving somebody Malkus and accidentally kills him. He says, why? If the kid would have behaved, it wouldn't be a mitzvah. Now is also not a mitzvah. He says, using your logic, a father hitting a kid is also not a mitzvah. Because if the kid behaves, there's no mitzvah to hit him.
Tell me?
No, 1 second.
So, I behave.
No, listen. Listen, I want everybody to listen to this. The Gemara answers, Hasam Afa Gav de Gamir. In the case of a father and a teacher, says even though he's good, he learns and he behaves, mitzvah is still a mitzvah to hit him. Got it? Dichsev, because it says in the pasuk.
You're recording this, right?
Yeah, this is recorded. Ki yaser es bincha. It says yaser bincha, chastise your son, meaning hit him. V'yinichecha, he'll bring you rest. Will bring you delight to your soul. Okay? He says that, as the Ritva explains over here, they bring down, that what the Pasuk is basically saying, you don't need it for immediate results, because the kid's good. Long term, the Pasuk says, if you hit your kid, what does the Pasuk say? If you hit your kid, he'll bring you rest. Eventually. No, this is in probably Mishlei, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Proverbs 29:7. Mm-hmm. Now, there's another pasuk in Mishlei, Shlomo Melech writes, the famous one, he who withholds a stick hates his son, but he who loves him hastens to chastise him. Whoever protects his son from punishment causes him to enter evil ways and will ultimately hate him. And the Medrash brings an example of Avram and Yishmael. When Yishmael did bad, Avram Avinu didn't punish him. And therefore it turned out as he did. Okay? So, David and Avshalom, they give various cases that the parents didn't hit the kids and they turned bad. Turned out bad. So Shlomo HaMelech says, this, who withholds a stick from hates his son, he who loves him hits him. Yeah. So the Gemara is learning, interestingly, the Gemara's question was, so then it's not a mitzvah to kid if he's good, the Gemara is still a mitzvah to hit the kid. Because long term will be good. Will be good for you. So the Gemara is differentiating, according to Abba Shol, the chopping wood can never be a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to chop wood. I need wood for the mizbeach. It's not a mitzvah to chop, because if you had wood, you don't need to chop. But hitting a kid, the actual hitting is a mitzvah.
That's halacha.
Doesn't change. Well, it's interesting machlekes between Rashi and the. We'll see. But now the Gemara says, "Hoder amar baye." I'm sorry, "Hoder amar rava lav milsi damer." What I said is wrong. What I said that hitting a kid is a mitzvah by itself is not a good answer. I have a better answer. Why? Because it says, Asher Yoveh Yoder Esrael Bayar, a man will come to, with following his fellow into the forest, Mayar, just like a forest. Iboy Ayel, if he wants, he could enter. Iboy Eloy Ayel, if he wants, he doesn't have to enter. Like a forest. V'isal Kodaitich Mitzvah, and if you're telling me he's talking about a mitzvah, Misagid Eloy Ayel, does he have an option of not entering? Meaning, if the guy has to get wood, then it's not like Yair either. Because a forest, you have an option to go or not to go. But if you don't have wood, and you need a sukkah, or you need wood for the mizbeach, you have to go into the forest. So it's still different than Yad. But they bring down, according to Rashi, he doesn't abandon the principle of the first answer. Okay? Which means as follows. What's the bottom line halacha if somebody chops wood for a sukkah and he kills somebody? So according to the first answer, according to the second answer, he wouldn't have to run to the Ari Miklat. According to Rashi, he would.
So he's right.
It's an argument. Doesn't apply today anyway, because we don't have it. In other words, this opinion says it's a mitzvah to chop wood for a sukkah. And therefore, if you chopped wood, you wouldn't be chayv. According to Rashi, that the first answer remains also, you wouldn't have to go to the city. I'm sorry, you would have to go to the city of refuge.
So by the time they used to do it, when Rashi wrote this, there was no city of refuge.
I understand, but Rashi is discussing what would have been then, if you would have to run to the city of refuge or not. According to Rashi, see, the question is, does Rava change his mind from the first answer? The first answer, Rava says, chopping wood for a sukkah is not a mitzvah. If it's not a mitzvah, and you chop wood and kill somebody, even though you did it for the sukkah, it's not a mitzvah. You'd have to go to the city of refuge. The second answer to the Gemara is, no, you wouldn't have to run to the city of refuge, because it's not like a forest. A forest, you could go in and not go in. If you need wood for the sukkah, you have to go in. So it's not the same as yard. It's not the same as forest. What the halacha is, it really doesn't matter. I mean,
I have an idea. That's why my father didn't want to pay my Rebbe more money, so I wouldn't learn that.
Yeah, maybe.
What do you think, Rabbi?
Excellent concept. Excellent concept. Okay, we're going to have to stop here, because now the Gemara starts a whole new Gemara.